Hi, I'm Rick Bennett, host of Gospel Tangents. I need your help. Please donate on our website, gospeltangents.com, and click on the donate button. It can be a one-time donation or a recurring donation. Your donation will help us to create better resources to learn more about Mormon history. So far, it's been a labor of love, but I really need some help getting better equipment, better sound, that sort of thing. So please either commit to a recurring donation or a one-time donation. We'll take any help we can get. Thank you for your help. We're continuing our discussion with Jim Buncannon, a counselor in the First Presidency of the Remnant Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's been a long-standing tradition in the RLDS Church that Joseph Smith was a monogamist. However, current Prophet President Stephen Veazey announced that the RLDS Church, also known as the Community of Christ, no longer believes Joseph Smith did not engage in polygamy. What does the Remnant Church do? Do they hearken back to the old RLDS positions, or have they agreed that Joseph Smith was a polygamist? Check out our conversation. Do you believe that Joseph practiced polygamy, first of all?
No, I don't believe he did.
You don't believe he did?
And here's what I would say to that is, and our position is what Joseph Smith III said, which was he could find no evidence of it, and he said, but if there is, by some chance, that he did, it was wrong.
Okay.
And that's the position of our church.
Okay. So your position is you don't believe he did, but if he did, it would have been wrong.
Right.
So one of the points, tying this back to the Joseph Smith translation that I brought up with Brian, was in the LDS Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, in the preface it says that parts of this revelation were received as early as 1831. And in section 132, it says that God commanded Abraham to take Hagar as a plural wife. I guess you would just flat out reject 132 and say that Joseph had nothing to do with that, was that Brigham Young's invention, or how do you handle that?
You know, I don't know really. To be fair, we just really don't know with your section 132. I think I remember what you're talking about. I would say that, yeah, we wouldn't consider that. One of the things we really try to look for is the continuity, and you guys have, I believe, four books of scripture, the quad. We have the three. And so the Bible, Book of Mormon, and Doctrine and Covenants. And so we're looking for that synergy, a witness. You know, we'd like to have three witnesses, if we possibly can on the subject, because if we feel like we do, then chances are you have a lot better idea of understanding what's being there. It doesn't mean you always get that, right? There's things that aren't, unfortunately, in all three. And we know that some of those plain and precious truths were taken out, and thank goodness Joseph Smith was instructed by the Lord to retranslate basically the King James Version into either the Inspired Version or Joseph Smith translation. I would say that we just can't find any evidence that would support the idea that it was correct. I mean, when you go to Second Jacob, in the Book of Mormon, we look at the Book of Mormon Book of Mormon is really up there, right? I mean, it is in both of our churches, and we all know why. Who cannot read those pages and not feel the Holy Spirit? It's just a marvelous gift from God, and we just don't see that in there at all. And so I would think that if that was something that would have been commanded, there were many righteous men that were in there. Why didn't that occur in there? And of course, then I can answer my own question and say, okay, well, to play the oppositional side and say, well, it's an abridgment. And I'd have to say, yeah, you're right. There's good portions of that are abridged. So we don't know if there was anything in there. But I think if it would have been foundational and significant enough, because to me, it's a pretty high significance doctrinally, there would have been instruction, there would have been something along that line.
So you're talking about polygamy. Polygamy was important, that it would be...
It would have been, right.
Okay.
Because, when you look at, I think your section 17 is the same as ours, when it talks about baptism, it's 20? Okay, so section 20 for you. It tells you exactly what to do, to take the candidate, go in the water, put your hand up, what to say, everything else like that. And that's the kind of thing that I would have expected to see as well on the other side, or some form of that in the Book of Mormon, you know, as that other witness, or in or into the inspired version.
So I guess an LDS person would say, well, we've got 132.
What are you talking about? I know, but that's what I'm saying. To be fair,
yeah.
You know, I why don't I see it reflected in the other two books of Scripture?
That's right. So let's go into that one more time. So as far as, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about the Community of Christ kind of rejects a lot of those Nauvoo revelations, which 132 would have been. I mean, how do you handle that? You just don't believe any of that Nauvoo? Was Joseph a fallen prophet by then, or?
No, we don't believe he was a fallen prophet. Okay. We don't believe he was at all. I know there were people in the reorganized church, and perhaps some in the Community of Christ. I can't tell, but I do know that there was a belief that Joseph was a fallen prophet at some point because of some of the things that happened in Nauvoo. And the way we look at Nauvoo is different than, I believe, the way the old reorganized church looked at it, and that was they kind of just threw, Nauvoo was there, but we don't really want to talk about it. We don't want to talk what happened because there were a lot of bad things that happened there. The way we look at it was that there were some good things, wonderful things that happened there, and there were some not so good things that happened there. And so we've tried to sift through those to see what's there, because to your point, there were some revelations that just didn't, you know, and some of them, here again also, we may not look at it as revelation. We may question the authorship of, and so forth and so on. And I don't want to get into conspiracy theories or anything like that. That's not the rabbit trail I'm trying to go down. It's just, we can't tell. There's like, for instance, there were some things given in Far West that, the Wentworth letter, okay?
Mm-hmm. Where the Articles of Faith are. We have the Wentworth, the Articles of Faith are part of the Wentworth letter. That's actually part of our Pearl of Great Price.
Okay, right, yeah. So that's in there. But that's not in our Doctrine and Covenants. So, you know, and, you know, as to why and when some of those things became, I hate to use the word canonized, but because of where we are, but why they weren't included in the open canon, I don't really know. I can't speak to that. I've tried to go back and research, you know, why through our line, why the RLDS Church made some of the decisions they did and they didn't. I think some of them were just, they just didn't at that time know, and they just set it on the shelf and just left it there.
Okay. So this kind of goes a little bit back to the secession crisis. As far as the Nauvoo Expositor, you know, there was a lot of charges in there. I would say most people in the LDS Church thought those charges were very spurious. They did charge Joseph with polygamy, some other things like that. Obviously the mob came in and did that. So where do you stand? Well, the other question I had was, I believe it was William Law. He was a member of the First Presidency, and then he was pretty upset when he learned about polygamy. And so he's one of the people who started the Expositor to expose this revelation. And I could be wrong, but I thought, wasn't he a part of the RLDS Church, the organization, or maybe that's not true?
You know, that's a good question. I'm not really sure.
I thought he was.
I'm almost sure he is, but I honestly couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
To be fair.
You know, at any rate, I know it seems like there were a lot of people who were involved in the Expositor who kind of were foundational with the RLDS Church. And I should ask, do you guys refer to yourself as the RLDS Church now, the Remnant Church?
No, we don't really refer to ourselves as RLDS. We refer to ourselves as the Remnant Church.
The Remnant Church. Mm-hmm. Do you refer to yourselves as Mormons?
No. If somebody asks us, we either say something like we're Orthodox Mormons or we're Independence Mormons, because it's very difficult for most people out in the rest of Christendom and the world to understand. Well, I don't understand. You've got the Book of Mormon, so why aren't you, you know, a Utah Mormon. It's like, no, we're not.
And yeah, I can see
so that's,
that.
So we're looking for the differentiation. So no, we don't claim those things.
Okay. All right. So anyway, it seems like a lot of people involved with the expositor became part of the RLDS Church. And it does seem like William Law and his brother were really against polygamy, which is kind of why the RLDS Church / Community of Christ was very virulently against it. I do know recently President Veazey, the prophet president of the Community of Christ, to me made a pretty groundbreaking statement when he said, yeah, I know we said we didn't believe in that Joseph practiced polygamy, but it seems like he did. That was a pretty big surprise to me. But so how would you talk about, you know, William Law and the expositor? You still think that wasn't true, that Joseph Smith did polygamy?
No, yeah, I don't believe he did. And what I'm looking for is a smoking gun. Okay, so I see, you know what we really should do sometime, I would love to do, is it would be really interesting for us to all have a mock trial and put Joseph up on the stand and see what we could do. It would be kind of fun just to see what we would come up with, because it's an interesting argument, and it usually ends up in an argument. But no, I honestly don't believe that Joseph was a polygamist for a number of reasons. One is that if anybody would have known, Emma would have known, and Emma would have said so. And Emma was staunchly against polygamy. She had a lot of problems in Relief Society. You know, if anybody would have, you know, borne the truth of that, Emma was, I believe she was a strong-willed woman like Sapporah. If anybody was going to say something, she was going to happen, and I don't think it would have been a mob that would have taken care of dear Joseph. It would have been Emma. I just don't think at all that he could have gotten by with that, with her doing that, and she just doesn't seem like a complicit person. That doesn't seem to match. The other thing that doesn't seem to match is that the advertisement, which I'm sure you're familiar with, it was given in the Times and Seasons in 1844, where Joseph and Hiram took out an advertisement in there and called a certain elder out that was in, I think it was Michigan somewhere, and told them that he was practicing polygamy and that that was not the doctrine of the church, and that he was therefore silenced and to report to that said conference. So why would he do that if indeed he was there? Why not just come right out and say it? You know, I've heard the arguments, well, you know, he was afraid, or he was this, or he was that. Well, he stood up to an awful lot, and he made a lot of unpopular decisions throughout his whole presidency. And so with the conviction I believe that he had, why he just wouldn't have said that or public said that, I really have a hard time why that didn't come out. And then also then to have the advertisement and a lot of, for instance, what Joseph Smith III did, you know, if you've ever followed or read any of his memoirs, you know, he went to everybody he could find that claimed to actually have offspring from Joseph, and he couldn't find anybody that he could believe. Now, they don't have today's, you know, methods of doing things, and of course, the last thing that I would tell you is that where's the DNA evidence? I mean, because, listen, you all would have been putting it on a billboard for us saying, here it is, you know, we have DNA evidence that, you know, Joseph was a polygamist, and it hasn't happened. And so that's, and plus from a spiritual side, I just don't believe he did. Just don't.
Okay, we're back from a short break, just to change my battery there. So during our break, you had mentioned that the U.S. government was going to stop their polygamy prosecutions, which I had not heard, and that Joseph Smith III didn't want them to stop. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's an interesting point of history in that Joseph Smith was so much against polygamy, Joseph Smith III, that is, was so much against polygamy that he actually went to the United States Congress and lobbied against them accepting polygamy. They were actually on the fence at the time, is my understanding, of allowing polygamy in the United States, because there were people of other religions, Eastern religions and so forth, that it was acceptable and okay to go to be polygamous. And Joseph III went out there and lobbied them and apparently changed their mind. So that's just an interesting little fact there. That
do you know approximately what year that he went to Congress?
You know, I would say that it had to have been somewhere around the 1870s is what I'm thinking.
Because it went on for another 20 years then. So in the 1870s, you're saying that the government was going to let that go?
I believe so. Somewhere around that time period, yes.
I hope you enjoyed our discussion with Jim. In our next conversation, we'll talk about women in the priesthood. That was a very divisive issue between the Remnant Church and the RLDS Church back in 1984. What is their position now? Is it similar to the LDS position on women in priesthood?
It's like women ordained to have children, bear children. You know, thankfully, we're not as men. You know, and so I think the Lord calls us each to a work that we're to do. And it's not a we're trying to hold somebody out one way or the other, because just as you all have sister missionaries, we believe that witnessing to Jesus Christ is everyone's job, to go out there and to promulgate the gospel. There's just the ordinances that they can't perform. So I really miss what the big deal is when it really comes down to that. I think it's much more of a ideological than theological point of view that people tend to move to when they go down the road of women in the priesthood.
Click here to subscribe, click here for a transcript, and over here you'll see some other videos that we've done here on YouTube. We hope you'll use this as a valuable resource to learn more about Mormon history.